Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I got you.
I've been waiting all day for that one.
Yeah.
We should hurry up, though. Passing period's going to be any second, and all the kids are going to pour in here, so we got to...
Oh, my God. There you guys are. Dude, cigarettes. Give me one of them. Give me one of them.
Here you go, dude. We're going to get in so much trouble.
We could get in so much trouble.
Yeah, well, we could also get in trouble for just hanging out in the bathroom with this random high school.
I know. This is really
It's a cool place
taxing.
To smoke, though.
Yeah, it is, but it's a lot of work to come down here. We should just quit smoking.
Do you think we should quit smoking this episode?
Let's quit smoking.
Guys, I quit 22 years ago.
Ben, will you play us in?
Smoking in the ballroom.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the Grolic Saves the World that you're used to. This is the Grolic Saves the World. And my name is Adam Caton Holland.
My name is Ben Roy.
And I'm Andrew Orvidal.
And this is a comedy podcast about bettering your world. And I say that up front to say if you're stuck in a rut, if you're thinking about deviating from your normal routine, do it in any other way besides stopping listening to this episode, to this podcast. This is not... the issue. It's other stuff in your life. So
yeah, I agree. If this is consuming you, if this is becoming a problem, I get what Adam is saying. If you find yourself only able to think about, oh my God, Ben is so hot. Oh my God, Adam is so smart. Oh my God, Andrew is there. Like if you think about all of that stuff and you get to that and I can't think about anything else, it's affecting my work. Get rid of your job.
That's
get
exactly
rid of the
what
job.
That's
right. It. The job is the problem, you know. And
when you
I
look
agree
in
with
the
you,
mirror
Adam.
And you see something you don't like, and you've got your headphones in because you're listening to this podcast, well, maybe you're the problem.
Yeah,
maybe your face is the problem.
Yeah,
but it's not this podcast.
So take off your face.
Yes,
so take off your
exactly.
Face. Find something sharp and take off your face right now. Do it.
What was
yeah,
that?
So
was
anyway, this is a podcast about bettering your world, blah, 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 blah.
Wasn't it Silence of the Lambs where Hannibal Lecter skinned the dude's face and wore it?
Yeah.
When he was a medic or something, he was pretending to be an EMS and he gets, yeah, that was a terrifying scene.
I'm pretty sure that was Sense and Sensibility, Ben.
With Kate Winslet.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, she steals a face.
Too mixed up.
Yes.
Because they begins with S's.
Silence of the Sense and Sensibility. It's a crossover.
They both begins with S's.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck, I hate when I do that.
Speaking about things we've watched recently, dudes, I saw the most horrifying commercial. I had to get your guys' hot take on this. I don't watch a lot of TV that has commercials. You know what I mean? It's just all streaming and
so
everybody's logins that I steal are apparently paying for the high class shit because I very rarely get commercials. But I was watching sports the other day. I was watching a Nuggets game and I saw this Wendy's commercial and I just kind of, it was just glossing over it, whatever. And then I was like, I had to stop and rewind and see exactly what is going on at fucking Wendy's because it's been so long. Wendy's got a new breakfast burrito, just came out. And they're like listing the ingredients so casually. And then I was like, wait, what are the fucking ingredients? So I don't know if you, Andrew, have you partaken in this? Have you caught
Andrew's
Wendy's?
I have not
let's just pause for a second.
In it.
Let's just pause for a second.
If there's anyone amongst us three who may have dabbled in a Wendy's breakfast burrito.
No, I'm not. I'm not even going to argue my case.
Add on to that, if there's any one of us three that will try it after whatever this conversation is going to be about.
It'd probably be me because I have a sickness.
Andrew, and then also producer Ron, I guarantee it. Ron,
because we're producer. The healthiest. Okay, let's hear these ingredients. I don't know what this product is, okay. But I'm excited. I feel like a kid on Christmas deviance. Morning.
It was more
and
just
I'm like, where's the closest Wendy's?
They presented it so casually, like, this is normal. This is a normal, like, okay, so anyway, the new breakfast burrito, now available in select regions, thankfully Colorado, boom, we're in there, is loaded with all the best parts of Wendy's breakfast menu. It includes 2 fresh cracked eggs, 6 strips of oven-baked Applewood smoked bacon.
Okay.
nestled alongside 2 slices of American cheese, all topped with a cheese sauce wrapped in a tortilla, and then 2 Cholula original hot sauce packets on the side for an added spicy kick. Just the sheer 6 pieces of bacon. It was just like in one.
That's a crazy ratio. 2 eggs to 6 bacon. That's a lot.
Yeah, 2 to 6.
But that's Wendy's thing. They've got the Baconator. They're living in the past. They remember when everyone was like, oh, bacon, that's my personality. Look, I got a bacon keychain. And so Wendy's like never moved on past that. Wendy's was like, yeah, people love bacon that much. But it's like, Wendy's, we all moved on.
It's just like, you know, the quality of this bacon and these eggs that they're skillet.
Oh, yeah. The freshly cracked eggs thing almost made me choke laughing. I can picture someone back there just daintily cracking each egg into a bowl. Oh, got a little wedge of shell in there, plucking it out with their freshly washed hand. Are you fucking shitting me? That shit comes out of a carton. No fucking way.
If I genuinely sat down and ate one of those, it would be a foot race between passing out and shitting my pants. And I think it would be
a Grolic's challenge in a future episode. I sense a Wendy's breakfast burrito.
I know where you're going.
Challenge.
A Wendy's breakfast burrito.
And then we run a 5K.
And then a 5K.
And
yes.
In a diaper. And whoever has the cleanest diaper at the end wins.
Do not raise that. Everybody's going to want to fucking see that. I'll lose. I'll shit my pants so quick.
I don't think I can handle it.
And my cheese sauce.
What's in the cheese sauce? What's in the cheese sauce?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this because I'm ashamed, but it's true. Back in my unhealthiest times, which are surprisingly not
January.
No, but way back in the day, dude, I used to eat Wendy's all the time, and they've got that cheese sauce, or at least they did. Always on hand. And so even when there wasn't a promotional item that had it, I would always get a double bacon cheeseburger and have them add the cheese sauce to it.
Whoa.
Because they just had it. They just
you're
had
going
it.
Animal like style at Wendy's. I didn't even know you could do that.
And I mean, I ate this probably almost daily. I would eat this. I'd walk over to the fucking Wendy's by where we lived. And it was like as normal as a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for me. I'd get a double bacon cheeseburger, add the cheese sauce. Oh, God, I loved it.
God, my asshole.
You go sit in the little glassed-in atrium by yourself and just stare wistfully at
No, I was with my roommate who was a vegetarian and would sit there in horror every time, like, really?
I would look like a Mentos dropped in a Diet Coke bottle. I would be a full Pucano. There's no absolute way that my stomach would not turn itself inside out. I can't even imagine eating that. The cheese sauce alone.
I love cheese sauce. It's my Wyoming genetic code. Man, if I have the choice between a cup of some melted yellow plastic and like some cave-aged brie from France, I'm going with that cheese sauce every time because I'm trash. I'm fucking trash.
And then you stare and you hiss into the wind and say, is that the best you got?
Yeah.
What about, Andrew, let me get your nipples fully erect with melted cave-aged brie.
Ooh.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'd eat that. I like all
bacon,
cheese. But
bacon is so funny to me because the government, like the FDA, is literally saying bacon is a class 1 carcinogen. It causes cancer. It is the same as cigarettes.
That's why it's cool, dude.
Yeah. and people are like,
that's why I put on my sunglasses when I eat it.
But I do agree, Andrew is right. There, it seems like there was a period that where like it was candied bacon with everything, and like,
yeah, bacon was the let's go Brandon of like 10 years ago. It was like the bacon was a dog whistle. It's like only pussies are afraid of bacon. Like
people
was
the thing. Yeah,
and I felt like it was after a lot of health organizations started coming out and saying like, no, for real, this shit's like really, really bad for
And then that just makes people double down and they're like, well, then I'm eating that much more of it.
Speaking of the double down, remember that? Oh God. The KFC
what was
double
that?
Down.
Yeah, that was that
two
insane
breasts of chicken. It was keto thing. It was two KFC chicken breasts with bacon and like cheese and mayonnaise in between it. And people were like, that's healthy. You can eat
instead
that
of
now.
Bun. Man. It was just,
it was chicken breast.
KFC's
bun.
Awful, man.
You'd,
well, can we just say
mashed potatoes and you shut your mouth. The mashed potatoes
taste like a mouthful of pennies. Fuck KFC mashed potatoes. Those are terrible.
Where are you getting your a mouthful of fucking pennies? What are you talking about?
It tastes
about?
Terrible.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to ask you guys a question then. I didn't want to go here, but let's go there.
Yes.
Death row meal, last meal, but only fast food.
Oh,
it's last
shit.
Meal, death row.
Damn. Oh.
And I don't eat fast food at all. My sons have never gone to fast food. That's why I was so
shocked.
They've
never gone even once?
Not once.
Oh, wow.
My son would go, but
Chipotle
it would be with
is like as close as they've gotten. That's
Can we count Chipotle
I didn't take my kid.
Fast cash?
No, I'm talking real garbage drive through.
You're
going to
make Chipotle your death row meal, dude? Come
no,
on.
No, I'm saying,
oh,
could
okay.
we go a
okay,
fast
I see,
casual?
I see.
Like no. Mine, if it was fast casual, would be Wisconsin mac and cheese.
Fast
from cash? Noodles.
You mean America?
Fast cash.
Yeah, that's a good choice. But no, we're talking drive through trucker fuel. We're talking just the.
All right. Last meal, death row. I mean, I'm dying anyway, so I might as well go all in at the table.
Let me hear it, Andrew.
That's where you get. That's when you get pardoned as you die of a heart attack from your last meal. I'm going. Gosh, I mean, I could think on this all day, but I'm going to go Shake Shack, double Shack burger with their cheese fries on the side. I mean, it's got to be every
Shake
time
Shack
I eat it, I feel like absolute shit
than what I was envisioning here, but.
But
I don't know. It is fast.
It's a grease bomb.
It's a burger.
It's also expensive. And I like knowing that the state had to pay for my last $22 cheeseburger meal. I do not repent. I'll not show you where the bodies are buried as I'm eating my cheese fries.
They're at the compound where you created that religion. Everyone knows where the bodies are buried.
Yeah, we've known for a while, dude. You buried them shallow.
Look, I didn't bury them. I'm a terrible procrastinator. They're still under the tarps. Anyway.
Adam, what about you?
I don't know, man. It's such a hard question because it's all such dog shit. But I think
you don't even eat fast food.
I'd go over to Popeye's.
Yeah, Popeye's is good. That spicy chicken sandwich is so reliably good.
I like their biscuits. I like the mashed potatoes. I think I would just go kind of whole hog over at Popeyes. That's the one that when I think about fast food, I don't miss it at all. But Popeyes kind of makes me be like, I could do that.
Mine is a freshman in college. It's 2 a.m, annihilated, drunk Taco Bell run. It would be bean and cheese classic. Burritos with onions, a bag of it. I want to go back. I want off menu. I want them to bring me back the 7-layer burrito.
That was my favorite thing on that menu.
That was the best
soft
burrito.
Tacos.
Yeah.
One hot sauce for every taco.
Crunch, oh my God. And supreme. Then I want a few sides of the little bag of chips with the little cup of cheese. Mm-hmm. You know, and that would probably be mine.
They call those nachos, right. But yeah.
No, because they have the nachos Bel Grande and stuff like that. I want the little.
Yeah, no, that's what I get. The chips and cheese. Yeah.
Yeah, the chips. Well, we've established that you're basically composed largely of some sort of melted cheese.
My insides were going to be preserved. I'm going to be one of those bodies exhibits when I die, willingly or not. I mean, that's how much of this cheese I've eaten.
Just totally yellow. Yeah, your insides
so
are
so preserved.
Yellow.
Just
yeah, that's
just pose me and I'm good.
Dude, I'm with slice you open and it's that like bodies exhibit where you can see every layer of your body, and then one layer is just melted cheese is just cascading
just
down the
neon
next
the yellow.
Beans. The
cheese.
Next is guac. The next is Spanish rice.
That's my Achilles heel. What can I say?
But, right, this has been illuminating.
I want to get Producer Ron. Can we lower the blast shield? Just because I'm curious. Producer Ron is a man of gross tastes like myself. I want to know Producer Ron's last fast food meal.
Let's ask Producer Ron.
I'm so glad you asked me to do this. I'm ready.
Oh, you've already got yours lined up.
I've been thinking, I'm ready. I know exactly what it would be. I'm from New Mexico, so I would ask them to go to Blake's Lotaburger, the local fave in New Mexico, for a Lotaburger New Mexico style, which is a double burger, double cheese with Hatch green chili. I would then order a Frito pie and a large chocolate malt.
Nice.
Oh my God. And then when they fired that electric chair up, you would foam over.
They would have to mop up when I'm done. They would have to mop me up.
We're going to have to mop up your booth. It's steaming, Ron. I'm so excited.
I am also absolutely going to be trying that breakfast burrito.
That's disgusting.
Sounds terrible, but I have to.
You know what? I would add hash browns to it. I hope they let me.
Oh, yeah. It needs potatoes to soak up the cheese.
Would you add extra cheese sauce?
No, it sounds like it's got enough cheese.
Can I want to ask one more. I don't give a fuck. This is our podcast. We fly by fucking night. We ride.
Oh, God, this is dangerous. Ride. Okay.
I want to go real quick around.
We ride.
Death row meal now. No restrictions. Death row final meal. You've
That's
killed
so hard.
No, it's not.
Yeah, can we do that as the act four?
I'll go.
Yes,
same
Even
thing. No, just
better. Let's do it. Act four. Act four people. We're gonna look at how big my index finger is on the camera right now. You act four people. We're
death
gonna
row meals. Great.
We're gonna go death row meals in there. And Producer Ron, you're.
I
want to
know
about
some of our listeners' death row fast food meals too, because I feel like I've been missing out on some options here. So
the reason I brought this whole thing up was to disgust you. I was not trying to lure you back to the trough, my man. I thought you would share.
I know this backfired horribly. I'm already thinking about that breakfast burrito.
Breakfast burrito sounds fucked up. And
so gross.
Three strips of bacon out. I'll make it reasonable.
I'm with Andrew. Nothing grosses me out more than the thought of them hand cracking my eggs. I just honestly squirted out of a metal tube or a gun or
I used
like
to have a bit
hose
about that,
from the ceiling.
How these restaurants brag about shit being hand cut chicken and stuff like that. And it was who gives a fuck? That's so gross. Like, I don't care if a robot did it. I could care less.
I want a foot cracked egg. I'm a freak. I want to see that kid's feet back there.
Welcome to Freaks, home of the foot cracked eggs.
Oh my God. Freaks would be an amazing. Oh, that'd be so good.
Well, the reason I brought that up was twofold. One was to try to shock you away from the diet, which didn't work for Andrew. The other was to discuss bad habits because Ron, I'm glad the shield's down. He told me about a letter from one of our listeners.
What? We got a letter, Ronald?
Another?
Yeah, we got another one. We got another letter from a
fan. It's probably emails,
here.
But
I'm gonna read
you get
this
it.
For you.
Okay.
They email me directly. They want to stay anonymous about this. They're a little ashamed.
Hot. So. I like that. That's hot.
All right. So here we go. Dear Adam, Andrew, and sometimes Ben. hey, fellas. I'm one of your thrifty supporters at the Adam level. I've been loving the fourth act. Sometimes those bonus episodes are funnier than the actual episode.
Hmm.
I kind of agree. Especially lately.
Jesus, Ron.
Well, fuck you, Ron.
sorry.
This person had any
recently,
fucking balls,
recently
they'd
did...
tell us their names.
Yeah, let's keep
it
interrupting Ron. You know, where do you find these dumpster people that send these fucking shit letters and fucking...
They're your fans.
Oh, okay.
recently, you did an act four about smoking cigarettes, and it made me realize something. I have been smoking for almost 20 years. All of my old smoking buddies have quit. Cigarettes are super expensive now. I wheeze when I walk on the stairs, and I just want to set a better example for my daughter. You've been helping Ben with his screen addiction. Could you also help me with mine? It would definitely make my world a better place if I could be cigarette-free before my 40th birthday later this year. Thanks for all the laughs. Anonymous.
Wow. Okay.
Now, the wheezing on the staircase, you know, that might be from the extra Wendy's cheese because Andrew has the same thing.
Yeah, he's got a cheesy wheezy.
He's got a cheesy wheezy.
So what do you think? Do you think you could help this person?
I mean,
out?
Yeah, we've all smoked.
Three of us have smoked. All three of us have quit. I think we're the dudes for this exact cause.
I'm basically a doctor. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm pretty much a doctor.
I'm not a doctor, but I played a teacher on TV, which is
That's so close, dude.
That is close.
And what is halfway. A doctor but a teacher for your body?
Close enough. Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome,
Thank you, Andrew.
That is the Hippocratic Oath.
Well, then why don't we do that? We'll go into the second act. Let's talk about this. Let's give some thoughts and talk about SAG-rats.
Are you guys just going to use this as an excuse to tell stories about cigarette smoking?
Yeah, definitely. Ron,
where's the button for raising the booth?
It's that one right there, Adam. It's the big one that says fuck off. Yeah, that's it.
But guys, I have one more question.
Throw him a breakfast burrito and watch him feed through the glass.
In the meantime, listen, folks that are listening, if you have not checked out our Patreon page, you have to do it. Patreon.com/Grawlix Saves. To all of you who currently support us, you make this podcast happen. Thank you so much for always supporting. For those of you that don't, go check it out. Patreon.com/Grawlix Saves.
And when we come back, we're gonna save this dumb fuck's life.
Yes,
this anonymous
we are.
Dumb fuck.
Yeah,
we're gonna save his life.
Save this dumb fuck's life.
That we love.
That we love you.
Hey, do you love the Grawlix Saves the World, but are sad because you're not getting enough of it?
Boy, do I.
Well, great news. You can get all sorts of bonus content on our Patreon.
Like what?
Tell them, Ben.
Act 4, ad-free episodes, birthday shoutouts, exclusive merch, stronger, more painful erections, our pod within a pod, boy crazy, decreased A1C levels, photos and videos, bonus content, and so much more.
Okay, I'll do it.
No, kick to me. Say, how do I do it? How do I sign up?
We're not trying to sell it to you, Andrew. You don't have to. Jesus.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounded good. Okay, how do I sign up then?
Fuck it.
You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/Grawlix Saves.
I do want to sign up.
We are back. Through the magic of podcasting, mere minutes have elapsed, yet Andrew has been able to dash out to not one, not two, but three different fast food establishments. He's sated. He's got the cheese wheezers, but he's ready to talk cigarettes, as are we. Look, this listener came to us asking for help quitting cigarettes, and we are going to give that listener the help. But can we just not villainize them and demonize them for a minute? Can we just talk about how great it was to smoke back in the day?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, let's hear what your, we talk about death row fast food. Let's talk about your death row smoke.
Cigarette
they're going to bring you in, they're going to bring in a silver tray with the smoke of your choice.
Exactly. I want to go around the Grawlix room and just talk about your cigarette experiences, because I know we all miss them, we all beat them, but it is fun to reminisce. So
if the
Ben,
point of this is to make him quit, I'm going to romanticize him.
Well, you got to be honest with your experience so you can like properly tackle it.
We've talked about this. I think I started smoking it in fifth grade.
That's wild.
Which is when it becomes legal in Maine.
Yeah. If you're in the woods with a chainsaw, you got to have a cigarette to keep the skeeters away.
I was one of several errand boys for Stephen King who paid us with cigarettes.
I have to get his morning cup of blood. We would steal cigarettes from the janitor at our elementary
God,
school.
That poor janitor. Those cigarettes are probably all he had. He's fucking an elementary
so
school janitor.
I think
he's like,
get it.
All I want is a smoke. God damn it.
Well, we wouldn't steal his last ones. We just steal a pack or two out of a carton that he had. He had a couple cartons. It was like, you know, at that time you could get a carton of cigarettes, I feel like, for $8 or $9. But then I started just stealing them. They were all over the counter, you know. I mean, just the displays, because at that back then in the like late 80s, probably you could have cigarettes on the front of the counter. Like they were everywhere, and you could advertise them. So I used to steal GPC cigarettes.
Those are so gross.
They were so gross, but they were the generic
budget cigarette.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they were foul.
They were fucking gross. But they were the ones that would be put on the edge of the counter because they were 78 cents a pack. Or,
right. They know, if you're going to steal something, steal these.
Yeah, they were close to the edge. And then I smoked all the way through. I mean, I smoked through middle school. I remember being in middle school and we would smoke on the trail behind our school. And
just looking for bodies.
Always, what's that?
Just looking for bodies.
Yeah. Well, there was like a place where you could smoke like just off school property. So everybody that smoked cigarettes would meet in the woods on this trail and we'd all smoke cigarettes. And then in high school, I smoked all the way through. I loved the smoking section at the beginning of school, especially when it was cold, to be everybody out there just ripping butts in the cold plume of air. And
such a high school movie scene. I fucking
yeah,
love that.
Man. And then
everyone's
I smoked,
holding their pullout stereo.
Yeah. The Pioneer face. Well, I had the case that went in the pocket, but I'm picturing
somebody's got a boombox and Ben's popping locking to the song Good Vibrations.
Good Vibrations.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Feel it.
And Ben is winning.
I thought you were meant the
school.
Beach Boys' Good Vibrations. No, and no, I was no, like, no. Yeah. I'm popping and locking up. I'm giving up good vibrations.
That's 90s also pretty winter funny. In Maine.
Yeah. That's such a fucking insane scene of me popping and locking in 24 degree weather.
We have some notes on the first scene. Yeah. Why is he popping and locking to the Beach Boys' Good Vibration in
near Arctic temperatures? Yeah,
in Maine
while smoking. God.
We and then when I got out of high school and I
somebody
worked,
make a GIF of that, please, for us.
God, that would be so good. And then when I started working, like my favorite routine. When I was working and, you know, in my 20s was to go to the gas station and to get a pack of Camel Lights. That's what I smoked. Once I could finally buy my own cigarettes, I always smoked Camel Lights and a liter of Mountain Dew. And that first sip of Mountain Dew and that first cigarette was the best fucking thing in the world.
Oh my God. That is like a Wendy's breakfast burrito. The new one has a cigarette in it. And it just kind of,
and they douse it
full cigarette.
Do marinated bacon strips.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Bacon do. And so.
How many years did you smoke, Ben?
I smoked from the time I was 10 until 29. 10.
Holy shit. So 19 years. What was your peak smoking habit in packs? Would you say?
Probably a pack and a half or two packs, maybe. But that didn't last long. My anxiety was really bad, and then I just whittled it down in my mid-20s to smoking when I drank. I was like, oh, well, I'll only smoke cigarettes when I drank. But then
your brain's
like,
you got it, bud.
And then I drank like four times a week and smoked a pack every time I drank. Man, do you remember waking up hungover and your lungs feel like somebody had been standing on them because you smoked so many cigarettes while you were drunk that it was like, oh, God. And I used to smoke so much, my heart would go into an arrhythmia. I'd smoke and drink so much that I'd go into AFib and I'd have to go into the hospital. So man. Like a year before I quit drinking, wow. I finally stopped even smoking when I was drinking. Yeah. But if you guys recall, we used to do sketches. I could pick up a cigarette and smoke.
You wanted cigarettes. You'd be like, can I smoke in this scene? Can I be smoking? Can I have a cigarette? And it was.
And then I would not get, it didn't reignite an addiction after I just made up my mind to not smoke anymore. I could,
you could hold off here or there. Okay. Well, we'll get some of your quitting strategies in a sec, but Adam and I, let's go through it's funny. You mentioned that sip of Mountain Dew and that first smoke, it brought me right back to standing on the porch. I used to start my day. This is so gross.
How old were you?
I was just telling somebody this. I started in high school. I was probably 16. Yep. I remember my friend Jeremy pilfered a pack of Marlboro Reds from somewhere. It was the ultimate contraband. And we snuck out one night and we smoked them at the tennis courts. And it was one of the grossest things. I was like, how could anyone ever do this? I was like coughing. I was like, this is not what I thought it was going to be. But when you're a teen, you can just be persistent. And I just kept at it until I enjoyed cigarettes. And
doesn't give up.
Yeah, we would buy them.
It's a fighter.
We knew there was a gas station that would sell to underage kids. We'd go there. And we also knew there was a steakhouse with a vending machine that we could use quarters and buy them from there.
God, we are old.
But it only sold Camel Unfiltereds, the steakhouse. So my intro cigarette was usually an unfiltered Camel.
God, I would rather jam drywall nails into my lungs than fucking smoke a Camel Unfiltered.
Well, just wait, because I could choose the cigarettes I smoked Cools. Those were my cigarette of choice.
I liked the menthol pack, huh?
A full-flavor Cools. Yep. And so I smoked a lot, and I remember starting my day. This is so gross, but this is back in my gross phase. I would start my day with a 2-liter bottle of Cherry Coke and a pack of Cools. I would just sit on my porch and just drink the whole 2-liter of Cherry Coke. Like, that was the portion, like a cup of coffee. And I would just chain smoke Cools to get.
They panic attacks.
I was having panic attacks at night that had me like weeping and screaming, and I could not make the connection to my morning habits.
It's amazing.
It was so unhealthy, and it like fucked up my teeth. I've had so much dental work, but yeah, I would just smoke half a pack of Cools to start my day.
Oh my God.
I remember I smoked so much that I got it. This is some peak trasher shit. I got the special ashtray you can clip on the door of your car, because I was like, I need a bigger ashtray for my car.
Yep.
So I had this like little plastic clip-on ashtray that advertised that it was like smokeless. It was like, oh, it's one of those ashtrays that's like smokeless, but it wasn't. it was like a fucking urn. But my peak smoking, I probably smoked 2 packs of Cools a day. I smoked from, I don't know, maybe 16 until I didn't smoke for very long. 22, I think I quit. So I was.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever known you as a smoker.
Yeah, I quit at around age 22. But thank God, because the way I was going, I probably wouldn't be podcasting right now. But
now I don't remember you smoking, Andrew, but I do remember our old boy ACH smoking cigarettes.
Mr. Cool, dude.
Yeah. But you strike me as somebody that probably picked up smoking in college.
That's exactly right. The first cigarette I ever did was probably like 8th grade, just trying one, but it didn't take. I was like, this is disgusting. And then in high school, I played so much soccer. I was serious about it. Like, didn't even think about smoking. Then college, everything fell apart. Wheels came off.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, it's time. Here's a little known fact about me that won't surprise many, but may surprise some. In college, my freshman year, I was so lost that I pledged a fraternity at my college. They like came to pick up a kid on the hall who was my friend for the pledging. They're like, you want to come? And I was like, all right. And I spent like 4 months doing that. Then I was like, I don't want to do this. And when time came around to be in the fraternity, they were like, okay, you guys are in. And I was like, I don't want to be in it or pay or do anything. And they're like, okay, you can still just be in it. And I was like, all right, well, I'm never coming around or paying or anything. They're like,
well,
okay.
Too bad, you're in it.
Whoa, you were like so, fraternity edging.
Exactly. So yeah. Anyway, I guess I was in that fraternity, even though I didn't pay dues. But
I'm gonna get it. Oh no, I don't want it. Part of the get it, let me in it. Now I don't want it. It's called pledging.
No, never.
It's called pledging.
I get it. Like, no, we get it.
Part of the thing that you had to do when you were doing that, they were like, you gotta always have cigarettes and gum on you at all times. And if any brother comes up and wants them, you gotta give him cigarettes. So you just had to carry cigarettes on you. And I just remember thinking Camel Lights were cool for some reason. So I had Camel Lights on me at all times. And guess what? I started fucking smoking them.
Yeah.
And then it was mainly when I drank. Then I moved to Spain for my junior year studying abroad. And everybody smoked all the fucking time. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I just started smoking pretty hard over there.
I remember your cigarette. That's how much you smoked. You smoked Parliament Lights.
No, I smoked Camel Lights.
Did you? Yeah. I thought you smoked Parliaments.
Listen, I wouldn't kick a Parliament out of my fucking bed. I'll tell you that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, a
recess
filter.
That's just fine.
Yeah.
But yeah. Camel Light was my preferred brand. And then I just smoked a lot while drinking, but then I drank a lot. And you know what I mean? I quit the day I turned 30. I tried to quit the day I turned 30. I quit 1 week later because I opened for Doug Stanhope on my 30th birthday. And I walked into that comedy club and I met Doug Stanhope for the first time ever. It's Herman's Hideaway, where Ben was recently roasted. And I go into the back room and it's Stanhope and his wife or girlfriend.
Bingo.
Bingo. She's in a bra. They're doing coke. Stanhope has a foot-long submarine sandwich and they're like chain smoking. He's like, "Are you my opener?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Want half a sandwich?" And he gave me half the sub. And I was like, "I'm not quitting cigarettes tonight." There's no fucking chance.
I'm going all in on subs, coke, and not when I've got cigarettes.
Not when I've got a cold cut trio cooling in my belly right now.
So I quit 1 week later.
But you had a couple slip ups, if I recall.
No, in fact, and I guess this brings us to the actual quitting part. I did not, Ben. I never had a slip up.
I thought you did.
And I still have, and I to this day, I will dream about it. I'll dream about like, "Oh, just give me a puff of cigarette."
Maybe that's
what
it was.
Dream about smoking and I feel like I am my complete self again. And it's been so many years since I quit. And I feel so like whole as a person in these dreams where I'm smoking. It's crazy.
Maybe, I'm glad the listener is trying to quit, but maybe this episode is about getting Andrew back into smoking.
No,
back into
I fucking
food.
Hate smoking. I can't stand the smell of it. I can smell a cigarette from literally like over a block away. There's a guy who lives in my neighborhood who smokes. I don't know if he's in his backyard or what, but I can tell all the time when he's smoking and it's like over a block away from my house.
I still hate it.
I can't stand the smell of it.
If a woman I've been hanging out with smokes a cigarette and I kiss her afterwards, I love the fucking taste of that. I think
it's stomach turning.
Awesome.
What?
It's
so crazy. I'm the opposite. It's so crazy that I used to smoke, had my clothing and self saturate in that. And I'm with you. If I smell it, if it gets near me, my throat immediately starts to hurt. I'm like disgusted. I want nothing.
It irritates me. I get like irritated. I'm just like, it flips my mood.
Oh
like
my God.
Instantly.
If I walk by a bar during the summer and that waft of stale beer and cigarettes from people smoking on the sidewalk floats into me, I'm like,
you're all cupping it into your nose like a sommelier.
Dude, full send. I'm just going to fucking give up on everything. Let's do that. I still love the taste
Amazing.
Of a cigarette. I just, you know, for obvious reasons, when was, you know, my lungs got so bad from it. I couldn't run the distance between two telephone poles by the time I started running. Like it was
kicked
like,
you off your telephone pole relay team. I remember.
That was sad because that was everything for you. And I remember those guys were your best friends.
I was a lineman. I was working for the city. I loved smoking, but I had a coughing fit one morning. I remember waking up and I kept going to the hospital for atrial fibrillation. And they were like, "We think the cigarettes may be doing it," because I would smoke so much when I drank. I mean, I would just one right after the other. And I realized like, this is fucking me up bad. Like
so
really
wait,
bad.
Was there a moment that you're like, "I got to quit"?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely.
Did your blood come
next...
up from your coughing fit? Like in the movies where a character is
no,
going
I
to
just
die?
I could not stop coughing. And I could hear when I breathed in that whistle, that wheeze. And I was like, I'm legitimately not a cool, cute, cheesy wheeze, though.
Right.
Because that's adorable. It kind of bubble. It's got a gurgle through it. But no, this is different. So I just knew I can't do this anymore. Was there any one moment for you guys?
I remember for me, I was like you, Ben. I was like, I didn't smoke that much sober, but I would drink. When I drank, I would pound them. Like it'd be easy for me to go through a pack drinking, pack and a half, like just disgusting. And then I was starting to tour for comedy more. So I'd be alone on the road and there would be like no reason that I wouldn't walk out of the hotel room at 9 a.m. and be like, "Oh, fuck it. I'll just have a cigarette." Like it was just kind of getting worse. And I had not one, not two, but three grandparents die from lung cancer. So I was just like,
yikes.
All right, clearly your body doesn't respond well to this shit. And I was turning 30. And also I was starting to sort of hang around Katie, my now wife, who was like, "I'm not going to kiss you if you smoke cigarettes." And I was just like,
yeah.
it's amazing how that sort of changes your
relationships and you know, people we're attracted to are a big impetus oftentimes.
I quit because the woman I was dating at the time, this woman named Ginger, she was trying to quit and she just could not quit. And I was like smoking, watching her try to quit, and she could not. She was doing like the patch. She was doing like every trick. And it started to drive me crazy because she would just be – it would just be like she could string a couple days together and then she would smoke again. And I quit just to be like, okay, I'm not going to smoke around you. Like, let's just quit together. And I just quit right away immediately. And she kept like smoking. But that was the reason I quit, was because I had been watching her try to quit for like a month or something. But then it stuck.
Yeah. It's so weird because I was the same way. Like when I decided to quit, I just remember everything I ever did around cigarettes was because of me thinking it was cool. Like the reason I smoked Camel Lights is because an older guy who I thought was cool at college smoked Camel Lights. And I was like, well, that's what he smokes. He's cool. That's what I'm going to smoke. And when it came time to quit, I always admired people who just didn't do the wishy-washy bullshit, the patches, the lozenges. I thought it was very cool to be like, I'm quitting cold turkey. And I'm done. And because I wanted to look cool, I was able to pull it off. I thought that looked cool, and I just did that thing.
Yeah, so you were a nightmare, though, because you couldn't be around it. I remember that for sure. You would be like, if I smoke that cigarette, I'm going to come right back to
it. The ritual of it, especially around stand-up comedy, like to go outside before your set and smoke a cigarette and think about what you were going to say, that was like... And there's the romance of that. It's like the comic pacing around, smoking a cigarette, figuring out a set. So I used to have to leave. It was so much healthier. Before my set, I would walk around the block, sometimes like five times, just leave the venue and walk around the block. To this day, I still will leave the venue for a big headlining set or something.
So let's
pace
start.
Around and do
that's,
that.
That's a number one great tip is to for quitting smoking is to come up with a new habit or a new ritual or a routine that you use.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, totally. Like, and a big part of smoking is the smoke break. You get a bounce from your desk for a few minutes.
Yeah.
You get to just like,
and you
say,
get to
fuck you,
kind
to
of reset
system.
Your brain. You can still
you
do,
can
that.
Do that.
You don't need a cigarette to do that.
You can go walk around the block.
Plan a new ritual is
go
definitely.
Walk around the block, dork.
Don't call.
That's the name of the episode. I'm calling it right now. Walk around,
walk
the,
around
block,
the block, dork. I think that was definitely something for myself was that I loved a cigarette after a big meal. I loved eating something like having a lunch or whatever, and then going outside to have a cigarette because I don't know why it made my heart kind of race a little bit, and it was. If it just tasted good to me afterwards.
It might have been like it had addictive chemicals or something.
Yeah. Could that have been it? No. I don't think that was
it. I think it was that the meal was really good and the cigarette was really good.
I'm going to check the math on that, but maybe if anyone out there knows, as a scientist or whatever,
let us know. Because if there's one thing I've learned over the years is that I'm pretty impervious to compulsive behaviors. So.
And yes. Addictive chemicals.
So I did the same thing. I think I had to, after I ate, I had to reestablish. And to me, getting up and just moving around and finding something else to do to occupy my mind was like a big thing after I ate. Because that was, for me, one of those things where I was like, how the fuck am I going to do this? And anonymous reader, here's another one. If you do continue to drink, that was the toughest one for me to kick. I didn't really have too much trouble stopping smoking when I wasn't drinking. Like just during the day, I found other things. But if I was out at a bar... The urge to smoke a cigarette, that to me is when a cigarette tastes its finest, is when you're kind of buzzed.
Preach, girl. Preach.
You know what I mean? It's that taste, that smell. You're like, oh, yeah. And then you start talking and you're like waving the thing around and whatever. So I found that a handgun as something
can be waved
around
just as emphatically as a cigarette.
While you jester.
Yeah. Now, to our foreign listeners, if you can't get a handgun, what's wrong with your government?
Yeah. Use a knife. It's the same thing, I've heard.
We're doing pretty A-OK over here in the U.S.
No, I
well,
think,
there's that cough, Ben's.
Sorry.
That's a gun cough. That's from eating guns. You get the same cough. Yeah.
Ben, have you been eating guns again? Ben, we're talking about bad habits. We'd like you to keep guns out of your mouth.
Just a small gun, nothing.
Stop
crazy.
Eating guns.
No, I think I had to change my relationship with alcohol in order to people make fun of the way I say alcohol.
It is funny. Well, it sounds wrong. Like a name. I'm like, who's
like,
he?
You said like alcohol. Like a guy named Al.
Yeah. Alcohol.
Now, is it alcohol. A drink that owls have?
It's alcohol.
Alcohol.
Alcohol. Well, yeah. There's so many wrong ways to say it.
No, I realized I would go to a bar, and if I was drinking and I didn't want to smoke, I would literally not allow myself to go outside. I was like, you cannot go out to that sidewalk because you're going to bum a cigarette. So just stay inside.
Yeah, booze lifts your inhibitions. Of course, it's going to be harder to say no to smoking when you're drinking.
Did you use anything, Ben? Did you use like
Chantix or anything that?
No. Chantix.
No, I was the same way. I just decided. And then when I quit drinking, I had no urge because I didn't have the urge when I was sober. It just didn't hit me anymore. I didn't have the craving when I was sober. And you know, when I decided to stop drinking, it
you know what can help you quit smoking, which sounds counterproductive, but it does work, is cigars. I ran a cigar store when I was quitting smoking.
Jesus Christ.
And
such an asshole.
And vaping, dude. Or you could vape, anonymous.
No, but
listener.
A cigar, you don't inhale it. When you're enjoying a cigar, you don't inhale it. But you do get a little nicotine through your saliva glands and in your mouth. So you are getting some nicotine, but you're definitely not getting the nicotine shot that you would get from.
So cigars are healthy for you.
I'm not saying they're healthy. I'm saying if you do need a training wheels to get from point A to point B, And enjoyed cigars while I was quitting smoking, and it definitely helped. You get the
anytime I've ever had a cigar, I'm physically incapable of not inhaling it. I just treat it like a cigarette. I'm like, yeah, just give it to me.
It makes you so sick. You're all just green around the gills.
Like, piggybacking on Andrew's idea, if you spend most of the day on 5-MeO-DMT, which, you know, if you do some DMT and you spend anywhere from 18 to 19 hours a day touching the God particle, I think you won't even want to smoke because you won't even know that you're
my tip was good. Shut up.
Ben's riff just there was so oddly specific that I'm terrified for how he has it. Like
Ben, if you transition to DMT, we're gonna
with a level of precision.
Guys, I'm
scary.
Fucking fine. I'm fine. Everything is fucking fine. I'm fine. I think being single has been good for me.
I think a real takeaway from all three of our quitting experiences, truthfully, was that we had all reached a point in our heads where we were done. And it sounds like our listener is at the same point. And our listener said that they have a daughter and want to provide a good example for the daughter. My God, that's the best reason I could ever think of. Like there, you really do have to just flip a switch and say, I'm done. And for me, it was kind of the 30-year-old clock ticking. I'm going to die because many of my family members have died. I know the effects of this. And that was it. But maybe let your daughter be that switch. If you're already emailing a podcast, then I think you're thinking about it pretty seriously. Like, let's do it.
Yeah, but you do have to be the one to pull yourself out of it. If you're waiting for someone to toss you like a magic rope, doesn't exist. You've got to be the one to climb out of the pit.
That's our other podcast, The Magic Rope.
The magic rope.
Let's start that one.
I think like that all joking aside was a huge part of it. Was my son I wanted to be around. That was a big reason as to why I quit drinking a year after I quit smoking. Was trying to not be such a shitty example for him and wanting to be a good person. And hopefully, obviously, anything can happen, but give yourself the best possible chance of being in their life for as long as possible. And what you are in, in treatment when I went to rehab is called pre-contemplation, which is, and then there's contemplation, which are the two first ones where you realize this is a problem. I've got to stop doing this. And then you'll kind of Morse code your way through various, you know, you'll quit for a little bit, start back up, quit, start. But it is a part of you quitting. So even just reaching out and saying, I have a problem, this is a step. You're already moving forward towards quitting. So
similarly, I just made a very good step because I had a pretty funny riff off pre-contemplation, but held it within because it wasn't a good moment for it. And so I just made a pretty nice little step towards being a grown-up.
Can I hear it though? Because do you,
I think you know what it probably is. It's kind of, I think, where anyone would go, where the three of us would go. Yeah. And I had the thought.
Yeah.
And I held it. I held it in like a.
I'm curious because my mind goes to a few different places. See, producer Ron behind the blast shield has a breakfast burrito in his mouth and he's aggressively nodding. No, he's shaking his head. No, I mean.
I think it's kind of a Patreon thing. I think we'll tell people on Patreon where the riff was going to go.
Yeah.
See if your thoughts line up with mine. But I just, what I want to recognize is growth in our listener and growth in me in that moment.
Yeah. So growth, yep. I had something for that. Mm-hmm. And look what I did.
What'd you do? You pulled back?
I pulled back on the comment I was going to make about growth. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I'm not going to make a pre-contemplation.
Right.
Yeah. But just remember, guys, pre-contemplation is just as potent as regular contemplation.
Right.
People play fast and loose with pre-contemplation, but it's
I think just, you need to protect your pregnant. Loved ones from the pre-contemplation as much as the contemplation.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Unless you want to come out on the other side with more than you perhaps contemplated.
We hope this helps you, anonymous listener. I think we got our listener there. I think they're good as quit, y'all. I think they are.
Three doctors.
Another world saved. I think we've done such a good job.
Adam, get out here.
I think cigarette. I deserve a 2-liter bottle of Cherry Coke.
Yes, you do.
Could have one cigarette.
I can drink like a deer on a Dodo Instagram clip nursing from a bottle.
Andrew, can we come over to your porch and have some of your Cherry Coke cigarette and just talk about it. Adam, flip your whiteboard down. Let's go ahead. Let's notch another one for the Grolics. Another life saved. Another
one.
Grolics wins again. The score is 110-0. We are crushing it.
Yeah, people are losing. God, no, but for real, I think what Adam said as a summation, do it for your kid. Do it for your kid. I watched a very, very close relative of mine, my uncle that I was very close to, die from the effects of smoking. It is a terribly demeaning, terrible, awful way to go. Don't, if you can avoid that, don't. Just you can do it, whatever means you have to. But hopefully some of our suggestions helps, and do it for your kiddo.
And all riffs aside, we are rooting for you. And thanks so much for sending us a letter. You can do this. We did it. And look how dumb we are.
Yeah.
You can pull it off too.
Fucking Andrew is so fucking stupid. He's so fucking dumb.
What?
And he fucking quit.
When Andrew is drinking a 2-liter of Cherry Coke, we'll say he's Jokic-ing. He's getting his Jokic on.
Yes. Oh my God. That was what a boyhood
Nikola Jokic would drink. 2 liters of Coke all the fucking
time. Wow, and it treated our two bodies so differently, but...
I know.
God, just the thought of that guy chugging Cherry Coke makes me pre-contemplate.
Yeah, it
does.
And if you're listening to this, if you've got a nagging problem, if you've got something you need three doctors to save you from, message us. Send us a line. Doctors and asterisks.
Aggressively saying
entertainment product doctors.
Yeah. Yeah, they were doctors. Hell yeah, we can. We're pretty much doctors. Adam's got children, so that makes him a doctor.
Yeah. And
yeah. Well, great.
Feels good. Feels good. Why don't we take a break? Let's listen to some stand-up comedy from our live show that goes down the last Saturday of every month at the Bug Theater here in Denver. And when we come back, we are going to have more show to come. We've got the best third act in the game, along with some good news for once. So stick around and we'll see you on the other side.
Please welcome to the stage again, Ben Roy, everybody.
He's got tense up back again.
You got this. Scott. Great set, man.
The Dishwalla thing has to stop. I don't know if any of you have been following, but he's convinced people that I sang for the band Dishwalla for like, and that I wrote Counting Blue Cars. Which is insane. What are you doing with your Coke blanket? Why is it on the floor? In your fucking lap, you little dweeb. What are you doing? We let you come to this show despite the fact that you have been repeatedly told by the authorities you are not allowed within 100 feet of this building. And we do ignore it. What are you doing? Why are you looking? Why are you laughing, you fucking idiot? Don't look at him. I know, he's wearing the fucking hat again. And you're freezing cold. There's goosebumps, but you're doing it to be cool. Hey, can I ask you something? Are there all the like young group of, are you all parted together? Who's the prankster in the group? Who's the real huckster? It's you, isn't it? No, nobody, none of you? No, it's that guy. You're all pointing at that one. And you're like, fuck yeah. What do you have in your hat, a pack of smokes? Dude, hell yeah, that's cool as fuck. Oh my god, there's candy cigarettes. You really are a youth group. That's a feeling. That's so cute, man. Hell yeah. And you got a switchblade, that's a cone. Fuck yeah. I want to act like I'm getting folksy and telling a story. Why the fuck we ever said this shit was meditating? Looks fucking cool. I don't care. Go out and start smoking. Go out and start smoking. He goes, yes.
And we are back after the break with Act 3, the best Act 3 in the biz.
Third actors!
Welcome aboard! First of all, special thanks to this anonymous listener who sent us their problem so that we could magically fix it and set them on the path of righteousness. You're welcome. And if you're listening to this and you have any issues, you want your world bettered, hit us up. We can do it. We can do it.
Three PhD dope boys in this place ready to make your life crazy good now. We've got it. We've got it all.
I've grown too. I was going to riff on what PhD stands for. And you know, I was like, you know what? We don't have to.
It's a classic rap acronym, player hating dickhead. It's always been that. Word. That was definitely a good, it was a good one. And it's fun to go down memory lane about smoking cigarettes.
It's fun to see what a piece of garbage you used to be and how far you've come into being a moderate piece of garbage.
You're not a piece of garbage if you smoke, Andrew. Stop calling our fans that.
I'm saying I was. Anyone who starts their day with a 2-liter bottle of Cherry Coke and a half pack of Cools has problems. That's a problem person.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love this segment. I don't know. It's become a favorite of mine. And I just like it. I like closing this out on something positive because finally there's some good fucking news out there, right? And so this one actually comes to us from one of our lovely Patreon subscribers, Ryan Grenoble, sent us the article that the World Health Organization, that almost went very poorly.
The World Health Organization.
The World Health Organization has just certified Cape Verde in Africa as the third African country to be officially. Oh, is it the fourth now, Ron? Ron is saying it's now the fourth African nation that is officially malaria-free. It has been designated as a malaria-free country. And that is a huge win. The more and more we can continue to get Africa free of malaria, and the rest of the world for that matter. But that's pretty fucking cool. That is an amazing accomplishment. So joining Algeria, Mauritius, and Morocco. So
it's good news. I've known a few people who got malaria. They said it was the worst sickness they ever had in their life.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
Yeah,
well,
crazy. That is some good fucking news. You know what?
Andrew,
I'm debuting
you've got
a new
an infection, and I know what the side effect of it is.
Not yet. I'm debuting a new third act segment, and Adam isn't here to veto it. So I'm doing it. It's called the Local Biz Shout Out. We have ads on this show for God knows what. We don't know what the ads are. We don't get to pick them. I was listening to one of our episodes the other day. It was an ad for like Reese's Pieces. I was like, first of all, why is there even an ad for Reese's Pieces? We all know they fucking exist. And they're secondly, they're such a B-tier candy. Like,
Shut up. They're fucking
cares?
So good. I love them.
Anyway, this is a new segment. We all independent businesses, they're great. We have friends who run independent businesses. They're like the true kind of life of our town, Denver, which we all love and want to thrive. So this is a new segment that we could do whenever we feel like it, called Local Business Shout Out. And I'm going to shout out Spology Dog Grooming in Lakewood. I've got two huskies, if you didn't know it, and I've taken them to a number of dog groomers over the years, and I've even done them myself. And it fucking sucks. Dropping these huskies off on someone is like giving them a Greek curse. It is so fucked how much hair comes off of these dogs eternally. You're just like brushing them. The hair never stops. It's like a twisted fable or something. And I always feel bad dropping them off. But somehow I heard about this place, Spology. This celebrity husky named Loki goes there. That's how I found out about it. I found out about it through that. So I, he's an Instagram celebrity, husky.
I want to punch you in the face.
Anyway, they did the best job. My dog, I didn't know that you could factory reset a dog. My dog's never cleaner, never softer, top grooming I've ever had anywhere in the whole life of my dog. So I just wanted to give a little shout out.
Do they have a website we could maybe put in the show notes?
If you live in the Denver area, I think it's pronounced Spology. It's like Spawology. But check it out if you've got a dog and they get gross like my dogs. I just wanted to shout that out because as any dog owner knows, every grooming place is different. There's places I've taken my dogs to. I'm like, did you even brush them once? What the fuck? What did I just pay you for? But this place did a A-plus job.
Andrew, can I try the song today?
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know if I have it, but I'll try it. Dogs, 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 dogs.
You put your own swampy twist on it. I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
That was plugs. We're plugging shit.
It's the plug song that kicks off the plug segment. Get on board.
Adam isn't here because he has a sick kiddo, so he can't be here right now. But we are going to plug his one-man show, Happy Place. That is going to be March 14th. If you're listening to this when the episode comes out, that's 2 days from now. And that will be at Chaos Bloom in Denver. That's March 14th. If you have not seen this show, go see it. It is beautiful. It's tugs at the heartstrings. It's funny. It's all of it. You should go check it out. And
yeah, he's put a ton of work into it, and it's great. So
yeah, Andrew, what do you got for plugs?
I am returning to the storytelling show I started way back in 2010, The Narrators. It's a storytelling show where people tell true stories on a theme. I'm rejoining producer Ron and Aaron from Bumport to co-host the show. And in March, I'll be hosting it. It's going to be on March 20th. It's always the third Wednesday at the Bumport Theater. It is an awesome storytelling show. And it's not a build comedy show, but the stories are often funny, but sometimes the stories are heartfelt and tragic. You kind of get the whole gamut of the human experience. So check that out. every third Wednesday at the Buntport Theater here in Denver.
Yeah. Anybody listening, I'm going to be at Comic Sense in Boulder, Colorado. That's that little comedy club right below the Hotel Boulderado. It's a wonderful show. Very small room, so you're going to want to get your tickets quickly because there's not a lot of space. It's a very small little space.
It seats like 35 people, I think.
It's awesome. It is so fun because you're all crammed in, and it's a great place to see a show. That's going to be March 21st through the 23rd, and you can get your tickets now for that. And as always, please remember our live show, March 30th at the Bug Theater. The tickets are on sale now. We've got Mav Viola and Ali Kareem are going to be joining us for that show. That show is going to sell out. Get your tickets now for all of these shows down in the show notes. The links are all there. Get them now. Come and see us.
Yeah, the shows have been great. Huge thanks. Our show would not be possible without producer Ron Doyle, Mike Henderson. Thank you for all your help recording our live show. Our theme music is by our amazing pal, Charlie Continental. You can follow us on all social media at Grolix Comedy. If you want to support us beyond that, check out our Patreon. You can get ad-free episodes, our pod within a pod, and much more. You can check that out at patreon.com/GrolixSaves. What should we do next? What are we going to do next?
I think we should take our dinks out in the kitchen.
Oh, my God. We'll be back next week. But in the meantime,
play us out, Charlie.
Ooh, that one was witchy.
I did it like a witch.
Witchy. Smoking in the ballroom. Oh, wow, wow. I'm smoking in the closet. I'm smoking in the bathroom. Smoking in a Dodge Charger. Because smoking ain't allowed in school. I think that's kind of... It used to go
Look, none of us have heard the song in a long time.